welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Thursday, May 26, 2022. The main signatory of South Sudan's 2018 peace agreement threatens to boycott elections scheduled for next year.
Now we are focusing to implement this revitalized agreement so that we can create a better space for the election.
And the commissioner of Melut County in Upper Nile State detains 9 people for allegedly planning intercommunal violence in the area.
They are accused of violating the security committee's order because the committee decided to maintain the security of Ngok Lualiak people.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition, or SPLM-IO, is threatening to boycott the 2023 general elections unless the parties to the 2018 peace agreement implement the deal before the end of the transitional period. An official with the SPLM-IO says a legal framework must be put in place before elections are held. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Said Bandas, the SPLM-IO Secretary for the National Committee on Economics Affairs, tells South Sudan in Focus that full implementation of the revitalized peace agreement, which includes a permanent constitution, a legal framework, and the unification of forces, will give political parties and citizens the space needed to hold election in 2023. Bandas says delays in conducting a national census, completing security arrangement, and repatriating South Sudanese refugees are some of the major obstacles to holding elections as planned in February.
The SPLMI, we are for election. We are the one calling for the election at the end of the interim period because we need our country to move from the armed conflict to peaceful political situation. Now we are focusing to implement this revitalized agreement so that we can create a better space for the election.
Bandas says many parts of the country have been facing insecurity, which makes it difficult for parties to hold peaceful political rallies and campaigns ahead of an election.
If you go to Barbazan now, there is the community violence. If you go to Western Equatoria, you will find out near violence in Tumba. If you go to Ban, now we have covenant violence community in Bankiu. If you go to Eastern Equatoria, now so this insecurity cannot go to villages. To generate peace without security, leave alone the issue of the campaigning and going to village to campaign and deliver the program of the party. You cannot make an election without security.
Bandas says the SPLM-IO has been pushing the SPLM in government to provide political space to all parties so they can participate in the dissemination of peace to citizens across the country. He is urging the ruling party to demonstrate its political will by fully implementing all of the chapters of the peace deal, this to avoid taking the country backward. Bandas is calling on the international community to provide funds for the implementation.
We need financial support so that we can implement the agreement fully. The SPLMI is fully committed to implement the revitalized agreement.
Yesterday, during a Juba forum organized by the Ministry of Peace Building, some political parties complained about what they say is lack of civic space in the country, creating obstacles in mobilizing people for general elections. Some party leaders accused the Kiir administration of shrinking the civic space in its favor. In March 2022, the United Nations Commission on Human Rights in South Sudan warned the country against rash elections, saying it would throw the country back into war. Yasmin Soka, chairperson of the UN Human Rights Commission on South Sudan, said holding rash elections within a contested political system without proper security and democratic conditions would be disastrous. The Secretary General of the African National Congress Party called on the parties to prepare for election to avoid bad results. 2 weeks ago, SPLM and government officials held rallies across the country to mobilize party members in the run-up to election and endorse President Salva Kiir as a flag bearer of their party. This program made several attempts to obtain comments on this report from government spokesman and information minister Michael Makwi, along with SPLM IG Interim Secretary General Peter Lamboth. Neither official's phone were reachable. At a recent rally in Magui County, Lam said the country must use the results of 2008 census to conduct elections. Other political parties do not see it that way. They are insisting that the 2018 peace deal, which calls for a new census, be fully implemented. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Authorities in Melut County have detained 9 people for allegedly fueling intercommunal violence in the area. The commissioner of Melut says the suspected individuals held meetings to plan attacks on other communities in the area. For VOA News, Dengai Deng has more from Juba.
Melut County Commissioner Deng Zhou says he ordered authorities to arrest 9 young men for allegedly destabilizing peace in their county.
They are accused of violating the security committee's order because the committee decided to maintain the security of Ngok Lualiak people so that there should be no clashes among the community. They violated the order and went ahead conducting illegal meetings and accused and causing chaos in the area.
Commissioner Joe says security agents will continue to pursue criminal gang members and those who try to destabilize their community until crime is eliminated in the area. He urged residents to help authorities restore law and order.
As the authorities of the area, we cannot allow some individuals to destabilize the people in such a situation. We'll continue to arrest those we suspect and then take them to court of law. It's the court that will go and see what will be done to such people.
Joe says he is working with other leaders in the area to restore peace in Malut County. County resident Gabriel Mawien says some of his cousins are among those being detained. Mawien says authorities did not explain why his relatives were arrested.
They were arrested and the security people said the orders for the arrest came from above. So up to now, I still don't understand this kind of arrest.
Malut County community leader Joseph Deng welcomes the crackdown on criminal gangs in the area, but says some people were arrested unnecessarily during a community meeting this week.
For nearly 2 years, there has been no humanitarian organization in the camp, and they were relying on each other, so they formed a body to discuss their issues. During the meeting, the security organs stormed the meeting and said the meeting must stop. The agenda of the meeting was to discuss the issues of sewage ahead of the rainy season, so the community members wanted to dig culverts.
Deng urges authorities to screen the suspects, free the innocent individuals, and arrange the others in a court of law. If found guilty, Deng says the convicted criminals should be sentenced to prison. The Commissioner of Police in Upper Nile State, Major General Chola Tim, says he heard about the arrest in Malut County, but his office has yet to receive any details. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Juba.
Officials from Sudan and South Sudan have agreed to reactivate the Abyei Joint Oversight Committee to address intercommunal fighting in the area. The group also promised to open the Kosti River border crossing to allow the movement of goods and people between the two countries. For VOA News, Michael Atit has the details from Khartoum.
At the end of a two-day meeting in Khartoum on Wednesday, Sudanese and South Sudanese officials agreed to reactivate the work of the Abyei Joint Oversight Committee in hopes of strengthening security in the disputed area in collaboration with the United Nations Interim Security or UNISFA forces. Speaking to reporters shortly after the meeting, South Sudan Defense Minister Angelina Teng said officials from both sides agreed to establish a joint law and order in Abyei and support the reactivation of the Abyei Joint Oversight Committee or AJOC to reduce intercommunal conflicts.
We made a recommendation that AJOC should be reactivated so that at least the current development in the Abyei box to do with insecurities, intercommunal conflicts, are addressed, and that at least a system of justice is put in place, and at least a law enforcement system is put in place, so that at least we can start to establish the the security in that that area.
The Abyei Joint Oversight Committee is part of the temporary arrangement for administration and security of the Abyei area, which was signed in June 2011. In September 2011, the African Union High-Level Implementation Panel convened the first meeting of the Oversight Committee in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Tain says officials also agreed to open a river port of Kosti in Sudan's White Nile state to facilitate the transportation of goods and people between the two countries. She says a committee composed of South Sudanese and Sudanese officials has been tasked with assessing the situation of other border crossing and report their findings back to their leaders.
Pertinent to ensuring trade enhancement between the two countries, to enhance security in the border areas and in a BA box, and also other issues of cooperation and closer cooperation between our forces along the two borders.
Sudanese Defense Minister Yasin Ibrahim says Sudan's military leaders who now run the country are committed to cooperating with UNISFA to restore law and order in the area. Ibrahim says, during the meeting, we listened to a report from the chief of UNISFA, and based on the discussion of the report, we were able to resolve a number of outstanding issues over the Abyei and the buffer zone. The UN Security Council first authorized the deployment of a peacekeeping force to Abyei in June 2011 following renewed violence, escalating tensions and population displacement in the region as Southern Sudan prepared to formally declare its independence from Sudan. Several attacks and counterattacks have occurred in Abyei over the past 3 months that have caused the death of more than 50 people. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, Kenyan election campaign gains speed. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what would you most likely to accomplish in life, and how close are you to achieving it?
My dream is to be one of the best filmmakers in Uganda and maybe in the world at large. With time and what I've done so far to achieve that, yes, I know I'm still very far, but I've written some scripts already.
To me, as a software developer, I still have a long way, but hopefully, God, I'll be able to make it.
I want to be a voice for the people who I meet and help people generally wherever I find myself. And I think that studying to become a lawyer is in the right direction to achieving that.
I would like to be a very, very great musician, a composer. For now, I'm not close there, but I'm working to get to the level I can actually achieve that.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Kenya's presidential aspirant Raila Odinga has increased his poll numbers after naming former Minister of Parliament Martha Karua as his running mate in elections in August. Analysts say her presence in Odinga's camp is a big win for his Azimio la Umoja coalition. Maureen Ojiambo reports.
A new poll by Trends and Insights for Africa shows a gain for Odinga after former Prime Minister Raila Odinga named Martha Karua as his running mate. Odinga is leading with 39%, as Deputy President William Ruto, the head of the United Democratic Alliance, dropped to 35%. Political analyst Martin Andati says Odinga's numbers might increase more due to his choice for Karua.
She will be able to bring in quite a number of support, especially the people who are undecided. She adds more value on that ticket than Gachagua adds to Ruto's ticket. And look at the numbers. Any poll that is going to be conducted, maybe 2 weeks from now, you will see Raila's numbers. So that will be the impact of the choice of running.
The 64-year-old Martha Karua has served in the male-dominated Kenyan parliament for 20 years, from 1992 to 2013. Karua, who is also an advocate of social justice, lost in the 2013 presidential election. And that, he says, the only people who may not like Karua's nomination are business people who do not want to follow the law.
Then she has very serious reform credentials, and her track record in terms of standing for what she believes is all out there for all and sundry to see. So she is, once she brings in the issue of gender, you saw the excitement across the country. The women were very excited, and that adds the numbers. She brings in the reform credentials because the civil society will be very keen. She is one of their own. It creates an opportunity for some of the issues that the civil society has wanted, have wanted addressed.
Regarded as Kenya's Iron Lady, tough-talking and very principled, in 2001, she walked out of the meeting with the late President Daniel Moi after one of his local chairmen insulted the opposition, of which she was a member. 8 years later, Karua resigned as a Minister for Justice and Constitutional Affairs from the cabinet of President Mwai Kibaki after claiming interference from his administration.
It is a moment that my late grandmother, one of the most instrumental women in my life, would have been proud of, but she would not have been surprised, because generations of women have fought for space in the decision-making table.
Women's organizations in Kenya have since celebrated Karua's appointment in the main political coalition, saying it's a big win for women. Zipporah Kitoni is a former nominated senator in Kenya and a women's rights advocate.
It has taken us a long time, but today we've broken the history. We have a woman, and when I look at the history, 8th parliament, we were only 9 women.
With Karua's tough stance on women rights and democracy, analyst Anati says her relationship with Odinga will be good despite their past differences.
He said in 2013 that Raila needs to retire with President Kibaki, because there are things she felt that Kibaki had done his bit. Raila seemed to have a challenge, and she had a feeling that he should have exited then. But, you know, they have differed on ideology, but some of the stance on some of those issues, they are aligned.
If Odinga and Karua win the polls, Karua would become Kenya's first female deputy president. Reporting for viewers, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Sacramento, California.
The African Development Bank has approved $1.5 billion emergency food program to tackle worsening food insecurity on the continent. The decision comes as bank leaders met in Ghana to weigh further options. Kent Mesa reports from Accra.
Addressing the media in Accra, African Development Bank AFDB Group President Akinwumi Adesina said the continent now faces a shortage of at least 30 million tons of food, as a result of the Russia-Ukraine war. He said a new AFDB initiative will provide 20 million African farmers with certified seeds and fertilizers to increase crop yields.
To now tackle the looming food crisis in Africa from the Russian-Ukraine war, the African Development Bank developed an African Emergency Food Production Plan collaboratively with the African Union Commission. The $1.5 billion plan will be used to support African countries to produce food and do so rapidly.
Adesina said the plan aims to produce 38 million tons of food, including 18 million tons of maize, 11 million tons of wheat, 6 million tons of rice, and 2.5 million tons of soybean. Prices of key foods such as wheat and bread have soared over 100% in Africa since Russia attacked Ukraine and exports from Ukrainian farms plummeted. The war has also affected supplies of fertilizer. Daniel Amate is an economist with the Accra-based Policy Initiative for Economic Development. He said, the AFDB's intervention is timely.
A step in the right direction because it will help the various economies within the continent to quickly resort to other economies where they could easily get products that they used to get from Ukraine and Russia. And by virtue of the war, they couldn't have procured such materials. And as a result, it's affecting food sustainability in some part of the continent.
However, Amate said African countries should rethink their agricultural policies and invest in the long term.
Going into the medium to long term perspective, I think what ought to be done by the various economies or by the various governments on the continent is to invest hugely into agric, and not only the production of food, but the processing of food and also storage of food. So that investment is very critical to ensure that any external shock that may emerge may not affect food sustainability on the continent.
Joseph Opoku-Gakpo is a member of the Ghana Association of Agricultural and Rural Development Communicators. He told VOA in a text message that the bank's programs do not solve the immediate problem of hunger. This will not make any difference, Gakpo said. Food prices will continue to rise. The impact of this investment will not be seen until 2023. What we actually need now, he said, is a lot of food aid. Kent Mensah for VOA News, Accra, Ghana.
The semi-final of Africa's premier basketball tournament, the Basketball Africa League, has tipped off today. Four teams are competing for the BAL finals. VOA Central Africa reporter Eddie Ruema and the host of Sunnyside of Sports, Sunny Young, spoke to former NBA player and two-time All-Star Lual Deng about the BAL, the performance of the South Sudanese Cobra team, and the future of basketball on the continent.
How are you?
Good. I'm doing well. You just received a Legends of Africa Basketball Award. What does it mean to you?
No, it's exciting to first of all, to get an award for me in the continent on a basketball court with people watching, you know, such a great league. Means a lot to me, and for it to happen in my lifetime. If I was still playing right now, I would be here as much as I can. This is something amazing, so I do appreciate it.
What's your current role now? I understand you're involved with South Sudanese basketball.
Yeah, I'm the president for the South Sudan Federation. And what we're trying to do is really use basketball as a tool for, you know, South Sudan to have a place in Africa, first of all, in basketball and the world, and also use basketball as a tool to drive kids to do other things. When people talk about South Sudan, a lot of times our image is known for our history and what we've been through, but we have a lot to offer, so we want to change the narrative. And basketball is one of the things that we can use because we have the athletes to do so, just like Jamaica uses running, just like Kenya does with, you know, long-distance Ethiopia and so on. We want to be known for those types of stuff.
I was impressed with Cobra Sport in their debut appearance. What did you think of that team?
No, it's good. I think, you know, for us, it's new. And Cobra, even though we competed, we are very happy to be in that spotlight and for them to represent South Sudan. But we want to bring more. We want to show more, you know. So it's exciting, as anyone would tell you, anytime you participate for the first time in anything, we're the babies of the continent, the babies of the world. So every time we do something, right, it's exciting to us because it's first time for our youth and our kids to be represented as a country and see our flag anywhere. So it's always, right now for us, the competition is a plus. How we do is a plus. Just get into it, we're already winning. And that's what we love about it.
At a basic infrastructure level, what does South Sudan need to do to improve in the sport of basketball?
Well, first we got to get our leaders in South Sudan to understand that the country is for the youth. It's not for the leaders to, you know, to allow their issues to overwhelm what's going on. We need to come together and overlook those issues first of all. Secondly, is put things, the opportunities. I'm an example of someone who was given an opportunity. Opportunity that I got by being blessed to leave my country because I was running, but I ran into that blessing. But we want those blessings to come to our country. So that's how we need to start thinking.
Final question, Lou. Where does this Basketball Africa League go from here? Is it only going to get bigger and better?
You know, again, the beauty, and I'll give you a little story. In 2012, I played in the Olympics in England, in London. In 2012, I came here after the Olympics, and we did a basketball clinic camp on an outdoor court that had cracks and everything, right? I played in the Olympics at the O2 Arena. I was here the same year on an outdoor court. 10 years later, we're here in this arena, and the O2 is still the O2. So what I'm trying to say is, Africa has so much room to grow. But what's so beautiful about Africa and this game is it's not basketball. It's more than basketball. You know, when I'm upstairs sitting in my seat, I'm smiling because of basketball. The lady that's bringing me, you know, taking care of the room, she's making money. She's here. She's got a job. She's working. A lot of times, these people are just sitting at home. That makes me smile that basketball is going to create those things around the game. And that's really our story. It's not about the game, really. The game is a plus because the talent is going to take that over. It's what we do around it.
Thank you, Lou.
That's Lual Deng, former NBA player and two-time All-Star, speaking to Sunny Yang, host of Sunny Side of Sports, and VOA's Central Africa reporter Eddie Roema in Kigali. That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. We now take you to Ghana with the song Poison by Daddy Lumba. We have been listening to Daddy Lumba and the song Poison. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Mi kono bako.